Hello, and welcome to Health Related Fitness with Dr. Jeff Cherubini, podcasting from Manhattan College, Department of Physical Education and Human Performance in the Bronx, New York. Episode 6, Resistance to Exercise. In this episode, I'll provide a review of an ecological approach to analyzing physical activity and exercise behavioral patterns, with a focus on the individual, social, environmental, and physical environmental factors that influence our physical activity patterns and behaviors. So to start with, I'd like to read an excerpt from an excellent book titled Resistance to Exercise by Mary McElroy, published by Human Kinetics in 2002. So it's Mary McElroy, Resistance to Exercise. And let me read an excerpt from her book. The underlying resistance to exercise in today's society can be best understood as a struggle between two contrasting ideologies. One that situates explanations for sedentary lifestyles and the failure of individuals to accept personal responsibility for their own health, and another that views the cause as part of a larger social, cultural, political, and economic structure of contemporary American society. So we have these two ideologies. One, the explanation for sedentary lifestyles, inactive behavior, it falls on the responsibility of the individual, personal responsibility, need to take that for your own health and well-being. The other looks at it as a sedentary behavior as a cause of a much larger social, cultural, political, economic structure of American society. So until recently, a relatively limited amount of studies have actually examined the associations of these environmental attributes with physical activity. And McElroy, Mary McElroy, in her book Resistance to Exercise, further goes on to say, and this is a quote from her book, "It is necessary to pay attention not only to the characteristics of individuals, but also to the social conditions that affect their behavior. Social epidemiologists call this upstream analysis." So again, the importance of not only looking at individuals and our characteristics, but also the social conditions in which we live. So the fundamental thought is that the social structure is a valid element of analysis, and that structural characteristics are different from individual characteristics. And this is termed ecological thinking. And this point of view focuses on the social structures and processes in which behaviors such as inactivity develop. So other researchers have also advocated for an increased knowledge of the role of this social structure, and this would be called an upstream analysis, to further deter future problems downstream. So again, looking at the social structure and how that could help us in terms of influence activity levels with individuals in society. So similarly, researchers investigating favorable or unfavorable factors to adherence of physical activity need to look at the practical aspects of this. So we look at practically in our environment, socially and physically, what are some of the real perceived and or constraints on our behavior? Why are we not engaging in as much activity as maybe we should be? A more comprehensive theory of this health behavior is what we call ecological theory or an ecological approach. And it really attends to looking at not just the individual as a victim in this, but looking at all three aspects, individual aspects, social aspects, as well as physical aspects. So placing the responsibility for health behavior entirely on the individual without accounting for any potential lack of environmental control or other broader issues really would not be the best way of looking at this. So again, the ecological approach addresses the environmental and societal influences on our choice of health behavior, being physically active, beyond that of just our individual control. And what's important here is to recognize how our behaviors are developed and discover the most effective ways to change our behaviors. It's necessary for us to acknowledge not only who we are, but also the social and environmental conditions that affect our behaviors. So really that's the, three key points I'm trying to address in this podcast, is that one, our individual behaviors are caused not only by who we are in our own experiences, but also by the social and physical environments in which we live. Second thing that's important to note is that both the social and physical environments can be changed. And then the third thing is to acknowledge that the most effective way to change behavior is to acknowledge not only the individual level characteristics, but also the social and physical environment that affects our behavior. So ecology, or the ecological approach, is the study of the relationship of us as an organism with each other and within the environment we live. And so when we look at an ecological approach to exercise behavior, exercise compliance, it's important to note the context of the total environment in which we live. So let's start with taking a look at what we call individual influences on our behavior. So when we take a look at individual influences, we can look at what are termed ascribed factors, and we can look at achievement factors. Ascribed factors are those factors that you are born with. So we're born with certain traits, certain genetics. For example, you're born with a certain gender, you're born with a certain ethnicity, you're born with a physiology, you have certain abilities, others are born with disabilities. But these are things that have been ascribed to us. And other factors that are part of our individual, of who we are, would be what we refer to as achievement factors. So possibly your current level of knowledge or education, your age right now, developmental levels that we've achieved, your social status, your socioeconomic status, your current religion or spiritual beliefs would be an achievement factor. Activities that you've had in the past, such as your childhood activities or experiences with physical activity and exercise and sport. We can look at your current level of health, your current energy level as an achievement factor, your fitness level, your skills, your motor skills, psychological skills, perceptual skills. These are all achievement factors that make up who you are. They're individual factors that influence our behavior. Core beliefs and values, I think, is a very important aspect of this. Your virtues and character strengths could also be looked at this. And just your overall personal well-being is part of these individual influences or factors. So sort of a couple practical questions for you to reflect on. Who you can ask yourself these questions. Who am I? What would I say is my personal identity? And then how does this identity influence my perceptions or perspective of exercise, of possibly weight management? What is my current level of health would be an individual factor. Does my current level of health influence my exercise compliance, maybe my weight management? What's my current level of fitness? What stage of change am I in? We talked about stage of change in the previous episode. These are all individual influences. What abilities do you have? What disabilities do you have, and how can we modify those so that we can be physically active? And what knowledge do you have about physical activity, about exercise? What skills do you have? What skills do you possess? What do you need to learn? These are all individual factors that are going to potentially influence our behavioral patterns. Okay, so those are the individual factors. The social environmental factors. When we look at social environmental factors, we're looking at factors that are micro closer to us, as well as factors that are macro, a much larger part of the society. And again, what we're looking at here are acknowledging not only those individual factors or individual characteristics that have an influence on our physical activity behavioral patterns, but socially in our environment, from a social perspective, what factors are of existence in our lives. So things I like to look at in terms of the factors, roles and responsibilities do you have as a family member, at work, at school? I can look at myself and I can say I am a husband, I am a father, I am a teacher. These are all roles I have. I am a brother, I am a son, I am a brother-in-law. So these are all different roles and responsibilities, roles that have responsibilities that come along with them that will influence the amount of time I have during the day, will influence different perspectives I have on my health, on my wellness, as well as on physical activity patterns. Look at social environment. We absolutely need to look at our family, friends, our career, our school, maybe if you're on an athletic team. These are all what we refer to as microsystems that have a social influence on us. So what level of support do you receive from family members, from friends, from coworkers, from your doctors, and how does this influence your physical activity patterns? Your cultural norms or values that are part of the world you live in, so the culture you live in, are all social environmental factors. The media itself can be looked at in terms of the information and images we have, and we'll certainly explore some influences of the media on our behavioral patterns in future episodes. So these are all aspects, and these can be looked at on a microcosm level or a microsocial level, your immediate, and then we can also look at that on a larger macro level. What is the culture of the neighborhood you live in? What is the culture of the town? What is the culture of the city in terms of its perspectives on physical activity, exercise, and health? Socioeconomic elements are part of this. Political characteristics are all part of this. And those are all part of this, the social factors that influence us. So take a moment and we'll do a sort of another self-reflection here. And we can look at this as, what are the most influential social factors on you? And in what ways can you enhance the positive influences and maybe minimize the negative influences? And I often say who you hang around with often dictates your behavior. If your friends and family exercise are physically active, you're more likely to be physically active. If your friends and family are not physically active, don't put a value on physical activity, you're less likely to be physically active. So in what ways can you enhance the positive influences socially in your life, and what ways can you minimize some of these negative influences? What responsibilities do you have at home, at work, at school, and maybe your community? And how do these responsibilities and the roles you play influence your physical activity levels? What ways can these roles and responsibilities actually enhance your physical activity levels? How supportive are your friends and family? How supportive is your work environment in terms of physical activity, your school environment? What type of role do you play in that as well? Changes can possibly be made to these social environments so that they are more supportive and more conducive to physically active lifestyles. You can think about to what extent does information and images from the media influence you? And in what are you taking as fact, and how does this influence your compliance? And these are factors within our social environment. Sort of to summarize that social environment, we can look at just the quality of your lifestyle. How satisfied are you with the quality of your life? And how does that influence, or how does that potentially influence your physical activity levels? So we have these individual factors, have these social factors, you could definitely spend a fair amount of time on just that social analysis alone. That the book I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, Resistance to Exercise, is really all about a social analysis of an activity, and it really breaks down several social forces that will have a way of perpetuating an inactive lifestyle. And it's a big factor with that. So in addition to the social influences, we also have what we call physical environmental influences. So we have those individual factors, social environmental factors, and we also have the physical environmental factors. So what is the neighborhood you live in like? The characteristic of the neighborhood? How dense is it? What's the quality of the living environment? The actual physical environment? How safe is the environment? What types of transportation is available to you in that environment? A big push now with the prices of gas is people taking the bus or people walking. Is your neighborhood safe to walk? Is it possible for you to walk? Are there sidewalks available to you? Is there walking paths available to you? Many neighbors now have parks and walking paths that we could take advantage of. So taking a look at the physical environment and what factors within that help with our physical activity behaviors. The time of year, the weather, these are all factors that will influence us in terms of our behavioral patterns. Facilities do you have available to you? How close are they? How convenient is it to use those facilities? What type of equipment is available? How much space is available? For those of you with children, is there childcare available to you so that you can take some time to exercise, to be physically active? That's a physical environmental factor. The cost of all this. So we can look at that as a physical environmental factor. The time of year, the daylight, the climate conditions, outdoor and indoor facilities, outdoor and indoor exercise availability. These are all factors. So again, let's do some self-reflection questions on this physical environment. What physical environmental factors most influence your personal exercise compliance? What physical environmental changes can be made to enhance that compliance? And what type of physical environment are you most comfortable in? What types of facilities are available to you? What's the cost? What equipment is available? How close is it to your home? How close is it to your work? You might be better off staying at work and getting some exercise, staying at school and getting your exercise, as opposed to going home. What type of transportation might be needed? How does the change of season affect you? So are there any incentives available to you? A lot of workplaces, schools especially, have facilities available to you for free. Do you take advantage of them? These are things, programs that are available for free, and do we take advantage of them? So these are physical environmental influences. And again, back to this concept of an ecological approach. We have in our individual characteristics that we bring to the table. We live in a social environment, so we have all these social factors, our friends, our family, our coworkers, our classmates that influence our behavior. And then we have the actual physical environment in which we live that has an influence on what we do and how we do. Back to the initial ideologies that we were looking at here in terms of the two contrasting ideologies, We look at those the individual self-responsibility, and then we look at the larger social, cultural, political. And really what I think it's important to look at is to look at the influence of the social and physical environment and our individual characteristics on our decision-making, on the choices that we make. Any given moment, we have a lot of options. Okay, some of our options are limited based on our social environment. Some of our options are limited based on our physical environment. Sometimes we have a world of options available to us based on those ecological factors. So what options do you have? And within this, how many changes do you want to go through at one given time? So it's important to understand that this is a constant process. Okay, it's a constant process in terms of every day we're making decisions that are going to influence our physical activity behavior. Those decisions are going to be influenced by these ecological factors, individually, socially, and physically. But at any given moment, we have decisions to make. And I think what's important, and what I really want to get across in this point here, is that it's important to have a sense of participation in this decision-making. It's important for you to understand, and for all of us to understand, that we have a sense of participation in determining the content of our life. We have an influence on our lives. And we're going to talk a lot about this in more detail in the next episode. But looking at this, we have a sense of control. We are able to determine what will happen in our lives, accounting for these influences, understanding that we need to be actively involved in the decision making. Okay, we need to be actively involved in the decisions we make about what behavior we will engage in. And it's a decision to be able to make a decision. So really what I'd like to emphasize, and I'm going to go into much greater detail in the next podcast in terms of this, I'd like to emphasize that we have the power to choose to behave through what we can call an exercise of self-influence. We have the power to choose to behave in a way that we want to behave. And Robert Bandura, a very famous psychologist who's done a lot of work with confidence and self-efficacy, refers to these actions that we do this way as agency. And what I mean by that is, to be an agent in your life is to intentionally make things happen by your actions. Okay, you're choosing to make a decision, and you're choosing to take action on that decision. And the core feature of this agency enables us to really play a part in our lives. We can play a part in development. We can play a part in making changes. So yes, we have all of these ecological factors. You, yourself, as an individual, both what you were born with, your ascribed factors, as well as those achievement factors. There's all these social, environmental influences or factors on our that will influence our behavior. There are these physical, environmental factors that will all influence our behavior. And those three combined are what are termed an ecological approach to analyzing physical activity behavior. What individual factors will facilitate and or help us? What factors do we need to adjust or modify? What social factors, what physical environmental factors are there that will facilitate and or enhance our exercise compliance or our activity? So these factors are legitimate, they're real, they are there. However, at any given moment in every given day, we have a choice. And we obviously need to account for all of these ecological factors that influence us. But the bottom line is that we have a choice to behave in a certain way. We have a decision to make. We make that decision. We decide we want to do something, and then we do it. So the key to that is to look at ourselves as an active contributor to the outcomes in our life. And we, each one of us, can actively contribute to what will happen in our lives. And in the next episode, I'm going to go into great further detail on this concept of agency, or the idea that we can make things happen by our actions. And we understand that when we can understand that we can make things happen by our actions, we're acknowledging the ecological influences, and we're also standing up and saying, I can make a change, I can do this. We'll end with that. I'd like to thank you for once again listening to the podcast. Feel free to check out www.healthrelatedfitness.org for my most up-to-date podcasts. And stay tuned. And in the next episode, we will be discussing some specifics when it comes to making the changes in behavior. And more specifically, we're going to look at the model of intentional development and how that influences lifelong physical activity, building up and off of these ecological factors. Thank you very much.